I find that I'm fascinated.
All right, as I promised, I was going to talk about Piers Morgan, as I promised yesterday. And, you know, he did this thing with Tucker. And during it, what got a lot of the attention and the headlines is he used the line of, you know, you'd sell the country out for the sniff of a curry. Okay? Oh, think about the curry, Tucker. Think about the curry. So, you know, in between all the stuff about all the jokes and the stuff about gay people and the F word and so on, they were also having this conversation about immigration. And Piers, you know, he literally came out with, well, think about the curries. Also, come to an Arsenal game and you'll have a great time. Tucker Carlson based noticeably no soul all of that. Noticeably said, like, I'm not interested in your bread and circus nonsense. You know, I care about the future of the country. And, you know, this has generated a lot of clicks, a lot of views, a lot of conversation. But does Piers Morgan really believe this? And if he doesn't, what game is he playing? And in this video, I'm going to explore exactly this question. But first, let's go to my ad for the Trivium. Christmas is coming up. I want people to be buying those courses and doing the Trivium in their droves, as they have been. And when I come back, we're going to discuss the machinations, or what I'm going to speculate a little bit about the game that Piers Morgan is playing.
Academic Agency.
All right, so what is Piers Morgan up to? Right, he's going to have Nick Fuentes on now. He's just spoken to Tucker Carlson. He spent the entire past year interviewing people like John Mearsheimer and Jeffrey Sachs and George Galloway and, you know, he's had Senk on from Young Turks, Anna Kasparian, even some, like, even more hardcore people, like that Dan, they were on discussing, you know, the big event that happened in the middle of the 20th century. And all the way through it, Tucker maintains these really milquetoast positions on immigration and race, and, you know, he defends Boomer Truth and sticks to the government lines on World War II and every other thing under the sun. He's been a little bit better on the Gaza question, but in general, he kind of toes this line. Now, as a pro wrestling fan, and as someone who tends to view these things, I can't help but notice that Piers Morgan is one of the most successful of all YouTubers. He's not quite up in the Candice Owens and Tucker Carlson ranks, but he's up. He is, you know, maybe third or fourth. Like, his views are huge. He does gangbusters, Piers Morgan. Now, a lot of it is kind of almost like Jerry Springer trash content, people talking over each other and shouting, and he has people like Rabbi Shmuleon and things like this, but from the point of view of pro wrestling, nobody on camera they're all playing characters, right, in pro wrestling. And within pro wrestling, Vince McMahon himself became a character on screen. Now, he would have been saying all sorts of things about Stone Cold Steve Austin, about Hulk Hogan, about whoever, okay? And obviously, you know, he'd be pretending that he was hating these people, and he'd be, you know, there was an official company line within the, you know, on screen, like the whatever it was, the corporation or whatever. But he was playing a character, Mr. McMahon, and everybody understood this. And with Piers Morgan, one wonders, is he, and has he been, deliberately playing the heel on his own show to put over all of these guests that he has on? Okay? Because in wrestling, somebody has to do the job. Doing the job means taking the pinfall, taking the loss. And I've noticed that Piers Morgan, in so many of these debates and interviews, you know, he takes the pinfall. He takes the less base position. He comes out with all this crap about curries and so on. Some of the memes have been really funny. I put my favourite one in the thumbnail, right? But the question is Piers Morgan? I mean, maybe he's just purely cynical and is doing it just for clicks, right? Just for clicks. And on that score, few are more successful. Remember, this is an old newspaper man. This is the former editor of the Daily Mirror, right? This guy knows how to work the audience. He knows the Eric Bischoff's mantra that controversy creates cash, right? He understands all that. But also, his choice of guests, his booking, his strategic jobs, you could say, right? Him doing the job to Tucker, him doing the job to Galloway, him doing the job to Sachs and Mia Shimo and Anna Kasparian and all of these people he has on. And where he basically plays the establishment stooge, the establishment centre, and yet the audience, who hates Piers Morgan, or the on-screen character of Piers Morgan, all these people making videos this week, Piers Morgan this, Piers Morgan that, keeps his name there as a heel, as a top heel, right? But it's also shifting, I mean, if you care about Overton Window, shifting the discourse and all of that, and yes, there are critiques to be made about the notion of the Overton Window, but the net effect of Piers Morgan's activities is constantly to push the Overton Window, you know, towards the direction that Tucker Carlson is going in, or even beyond that, to his next guest, Nick Fuentes. The net effect of Piers Morgan's activities on his show has been to, in the words of Ben Shapiro, launder more kind of radical positions. I wouldn't call them radical, but you know what I'm talking about, telling the truth about things. Where he puts up token opposition, but the opposition is token and is there to be defeated. He is playing the heel on his own show. I don't know how much kind of chess strategy and how much credit we should give Piers Morgan. Because if he is playing that game, it's a pretty genius game, if you think about it. Not only does he max out on his clicks, but he also, if he's secretly based, this is, and there's a lot to doubt because he's never shown any hint of, he never breaks kayfabe, Piers, right? He's always in character, if you want to put it this way. But I'm going to put it out there as an idea. Stranger things have happened. I mean, let's put it this way. The alternative is that Piers Morgan is a kind of blinkered fool who continuously has guests on that hand him his ass in debates, he has like no ego, nothing at all. Nothing ever gets in. He's never persuaded by anything. That's just not true, though, and we know it's not true because, as we've noted in the past, Piers Morgan is a weather vane. He strategically actually moves his on-screen positions a little bit, you know, where he sees the... He always tries to ape the dead median centre of wherever the discourse happens to be. So if the discourse moves left, his positions will move left. If the discourse moves right, his positions move to the right, where the median line is. But what that tells you, the fact that he does that, also tells you that he doesn't really believe any of the things that he says, that he's prepared to say anything, basically. And so if he's smart enough to do that, what's to say that he's not smart enough to set himself up to do these continual jobs? Right? Because if you're an avid Piers Morgan watcher, you're probably more red-pilled than the average watcher of many other shows I could name. So let's just have a little moment now to think about this interview, the coming up with Fuentes, and the next exciting chapter in the ongoing saga. Do we think that Piers Morgan, is going to give Nick a soft interview, where he just like Tucker gave Nick a soft interview, and by soft I mean he let him talk, he didn't go in for the gotcha, right? And that was the problem that Ben Shapiro et al. Had with that interview, that they wanted a gotcha style interview, okay, like Kathy Newman versus Jordan Peterson or something like that. They wanted a hostile interview. Right, and there's definitely a difference between a hostile interview and a soft interview. Okay, Tucker let Nick talk, and he didn't push back. And even when Nick started to get feisty, Tucker kind of tried to act as the older, wiser man, and you know, he's very conciliatory and so on. Will Piers Morgan do that, or will he go in looking with the full litany of gotcha quotes, all the bad stuff, you know, cookie cutter cookies and all of that sort of stuff? Will he kind of confront and be like morally appalled by Nick and do that whole rigmarole? Hard to say, and it's hard to say which would be better for him. If you have the view that I've just outlined, that Piers Morgan is secretly doing jobs, playing the heel on his own show to put over the opposition, i.e. if the actual purpose of this Fuentes interview that Piers Morgan is about to do, if the actual purpose of it is to put Nick over, is to get Nick's ideas, to get the audience to side with Nick, would the better thing be to go in there with the hostile, to play the heel, and that will get people to like Nick more? Or will it be the soft? And honestly, I actually think that the hostile interview would be more effective at, because polarization, controversy and polarization sell, and they cement positions. And if Piers seems like he's going in there as a bully, going in there as a gotcha, there's an automatic underdog element that then people will kind of support Nick against this establishment stooge bully. Okay, so there is a tactical game to be had by Piers going in all guns blazing. So it'll be very interesting to see which Piers Morgan turns up. Well, anyway, maybe I'm overthinking all this, maybe I'm not. But it seems to me that this is showbiz, man. It's showbiz. And showbiz is pro wrestling, and pro wrestling is kayfabe and behind-the-scenes machinations. So, yeah, let me know your thoughts. Pick up a thought course at the Academic Agency. If you're wondering, by the way, this is a lovely Monte Cristo number 3. Kind of incinerated the end of it. By the way, this is not a dressing gown, okay? This is a smoking jacket, okay? Now, I admit, it may look like your grandmother's curtains. I admit that. I freely admit that in terms of sartorial style and elegance, it may resemble your grandmother's curtains, okay? But call it by its name. It is a smoking jacket, not a dressing gown. I wear it to protect my undergarments from the smell of this Monte Cristo number 3. Anyway, pick up a Trivium and I'll catch you next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.